Saga fans, what's happening? It's the Ghost Show in partnership with AnnaValleyShow.com. Kerry Muntz in the saddle. Patrick Morris somewhere on a cell phone in New Orleans. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, Kerry.
What's happening, man?
I am just ecstatic. It's been a week, and even though we're talking Ole Miss, it's still Bama week.
Hey, man. We're talking Ole Miss tonight. Alabama is so important that we missed last week to break down Ole Miss. It was a bye week, so there was no lunch with Les, so there was no go show. You know, we follow that schedule, and that wasn't the main reason. But no, we're here. We're here tonight. We're gonna segment one of the Bama show this week is gonna be dedicated to about 20 minutes of pure Ole Miss, so that way we're not rushed to get into what's gonna be awesome Alabama talk coming up a little bit later on in the show. But we're gonna devote this first part of this show strictly talking about Ole Miss. Ways to get in touch with the show, as always. Tweet at us, tweet at the site, at Valley Shook. That's podcast handle. Tweet if you want to tweet. If you have show ideas, whatever, tweet at the show. I'm at Go Show Kerry. Patrick's at Cat Godfather. If you don't know how to spell those by now, you haven't been listening all year, and frankly, we don't want you. I'm just kidding. No, it's spelled how you think it is. G-A-U-X, and Cat Godfather is K-A-T-T, Godfather. That simple. Patrick Morris, the Ole Miss Rebels. What else? Oh. To find the show, go to iTunes. Download us free from there. That's the best, easiest way to do it. Or just go to the website itself, Anna Valley Show, and search the Go Show. You'll find the show that way too. But you go to iTunes, download to your smartphone device, and it's free, as are we. So LSU, 10-7, making a believer out of this pessimistic 2014 LSU fan right here. I'm impressed. I don't have the words to really sum up. It's been, you know, we're talking a week and 3 days now since that game. So it's just the amount of pride I feel, and this is cue up the sappy music here, a little violin playing and everything like that. The pride that I felt at that stadium Saturday night and Sunday was just unparalleled, as far as where this young team was after that Auburn game to where they are now is just unbelievable. And Patrick, I got to tell you, my Thunder bet looking a little shaky for next year.
You know, that's exactly what somebody told me right after that game. He said, man, that Tundra's going to look good in your driveway. I said, well, hopefully it's just down the street. We'll just borrow it when we need to.
There you go. I said, man, this team's gonna win out. And if they went out, I mean, this is still tall order, but it's not unrealistic. There's no way they're not top preseason, top six next year. I mean, just, you know, probably top five. But just based on the talent that's coming back and the schedule they played this year and everything, I mean, and where they're going to finish if they do win out. I mean, they're definitely going to be a top five team if they probably win out. Who knows? They might even be in the top four, you know, the playoff. But that's a long ways away. A lot of stuff to get to before that. There's still three tough games to play, but the Ole Miss game in of itself was just phenomenal. The most electric that stadium has been all year, rightfully so. You know, students rush the field. God bless them. I don't do it, but, you know, I was watching it, and I'm just like, we really rushing the field for Ole Miss. But then you kind of take a step back, and you kind of realize it. For these kids, this is the
first time they've never seen that.
Yeah.
They have never had that chance. We had that chance.
We've never been the underdog.
So this is the next generation.
Yeah. You're talking about a generation of fans that some of these kids, some of these seniors, some of these kids, some of these students, think about our friends. Think about Alexis. Think about Josh. People like that who we've been the favorite in that stadium for years. So, you know, God bless them. They didn't rip down the goalpost, thank God. They didn't rip up chunks of grass like we did back in 2000, 2001. You know, I did. I took a piece of grass. We beat Tennessee in overtime in 2001. I ripped a piece of grass out the stadium. I'm like, what am I going to do with this? You know, or 2000. I'm sorry, 2000. It was an 01 we played them at Tennessee. Yeah, and I said, I just threw it back on the ground and I ran out of the stadium. I was like, okay, I did my piece. You know, I rushed the field, you know. But, you know, I had a different feeling on Sunday after kind of thinking about it. It's still kind of funny watching it happen against Ole Miss, but, you know.
You talk about rushing the field. I said, I guess I'm a little older than you. My first time rushing was 97 against Florida, so – you know, and I actually still do have that grass, if you want to really know the truth. It's not grass anymore, but I still have that in a Ziploc bag sitting in a special cup above my desk.
Very good. Well, I wasn't a student at 97. You're not that much older than me. But I was not yet an LSU student. I was still in South Upper with my parents, so that would have been a long climb down. So,
Anyway, beating Ole Miss is really, on top of the fact that it was a major win, it was beating one of our main rivals, which is...
Without question. And rattling that straw-head, feather-head quarterback it has.
And a high school coach.
And a high school coach. So... But that's what a tough way to lose for them last past weekend. But nevertheless, we kind of there's a stat out there after teams play LSU and Alabama how they fare the following week. It's usually like a less than 50% chance of them winning, or under 500 winning percentage, I should say. But you know, they competed with Auburn. Auburn's a very good football team, so you know. I don't think that doesn't discount LSU's win in any way, shape, or form, in my opinion, over Ole Miss. But, kudos to, the defensive scheme Chavis came up with. I mean, we talked about the difference Kendall Beckwith has made. We talked about it before the Ole Miss game, and it certainly made a huge difference on Saturday, a week and a half ago, Patrick.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, it was a matter of time of him learning the calls in the defense and him becoming the defensive leader out there. I mean, the size that he brings, he's not going to get blocked by one guy. If he does, it's got to be a 320-pound lineman that has a good angle on him. You know, he's fast. Not only is he fast, but he makes the people around him, he opens them up to go make plays because he draws so much attention in the middle of that field now. I mean, once he came on, the defense changed. Our DBs, all they got to do is hold down for like 1 or 2 seconds now. And we know they can hold down more than that. But, I mean, just think about it, how they've come along, how they've learned techniques, learned how to play against these big receivers. I mean, Treadwell did not have a banner game against us. He had his catches, he had his whatever, but he was shut down for the most part. We played him one-on-one and said, let's go, what you got?
Right, yeah, and their other playmakers didn't really do much either. Their tight end, I think, made a play or two here and there, but, defensively it was – it was pretty much, and the way they're swarming to the football, they're playing with a certain degree of confidence that we didn't see earlier in the season. It seems like they're more sure of themselves, especially Danielle Hunter and Jamario Rasko. Jamal Adams is a freaking playmaker. He is without, and I don't want to start comparing him, but because he's not, Tyrann Mathieu was a special guy as far as being a ball hawk and finding a way to turn the ball over and scooping scores and things like that. Jamal Adams is not really what he does, but as far as being around the ball and making hits and just kind of having that kind of element of swag on that defense a little bit, I kind of compare him a little bit to Tyrann Mathieu because he gets into player's head and he's done it 2 weeks now. He's done it against Florida and then against Ole Miss with Bo Wallace where he started chirping on the sidelines after a play on the sidelines, and Bo Wallace headbutts him and he flops.
He's got to take acting classes, no doubt. Or either that, or he's watching Wrestling with Podcat.
I think he does a damn fine job. I went back and I must have rewatched that 3 or 4 times, watching him flop against on a headbutt from Bo Wallace. But he's. That's the kind of guy he is. He's around the ball. He plays the game clean, he has a knack for getting in the player's head and causing them to do something stupid, and he's caused 2 unsportsmanlike conduct penalties. So,
I'm really liking this defense. And turning to the other side of the ball, defense. Yeah, I think once they learned, they quit thinking about where they needed to be and just got there. And just made the plays, and they said, go after it. They were so much better. With a young team, it takes a while until the repetitions come to fruition, and you're not thinking about where you're going. You're just going there, and you're naturally just making a play. But, defense, yeah, they've come full circle this year, and there's only God, just think how young they are and where we're going to go from here. They're just going to continuously get better.
And we talked, I think, after the Auburn game about maybe – maybe these new offenses now, maybe John Chavis is finally starting to get passed up a little bit. Guess what? He's adjusted himself too, because if you notice in that game, he ran a lot of different looks, a lot of different schemes, and we're base 4-3 defense. But there was a lot of instances where we were 3-down linemen, and we were running, like, you know, with like 3-3-5s and sometimes 3-4s. I think there was one instance where the entire defense was on their feet except for like maybe a defensive tackle or two. You know, he's creating different looks defensively to try to mix it up. So maybe he is trying, maybe it's starting to slow down for him. And, you know, you got to believe, I have the utmost confidence with 2 weeks to prepare for Alabama that he's in there and he's trying to figure out ways to slow down Blake Sims and Amari Cooper and TJ Yeldon and those guys. So, you know, I can't say enough about where this defense was and where they've come. You know, if you want offensively real quick, you know, we said early in the season, we can't be a, you know, just a straight I formation team. We're not built like that. Well, guess what? We're doing a pretty good job of imposing our will, but we're also mixing that up a little bit now. You're starting to see a lot more pistol looks and shotgun looks, and they threw the ball out of first down a lot more than what they did.
The tight end pass, that in itself opens up the middle.
Right. The wheel route to Fournette in the first quarter, on that first or second drive. I think maybe right before he fumbled, actually.
Yep.
A couple plays before he fumbled. So, you know, you're starting to see some different things. Now, we're still pretty vanilla when it comes to throwing football. We're still things that we need to work on. I mean, there was some. I mean, we overcame four turnovers in the game. That's not understated, because we don't turn the ball over four times. We probably win that game by two touchdowns.
And a missed field goal.
And a missed field goal. So, you know, it was just. Well,
you know, we talked about it. We talked about it after – it wasn't after Auburn. It was after the next game. We had to establish some sort of identity. What were we going to do? Were we going to – you know, even if it was like – and we talked about, because Arkansas had done that early in the season. They said, okay, we're going to run the ball down your throat. We got 350-pound linemen, and we're going to run it. Arkansas did it. They established an identity and said, stop us. Now you've got LSU that says, okay, you know what our identity is? Our offensive line is here to play. We are – who we thought we were supposed to be, to coin a semi-coin a phrase there. And they've stepped up and they said, okay, we're going to smash mouth you. You stop it. We got four running backs. We're going to keep coming at you. And, oh, and by the way, every now and then you better watch out, because we will burn you over the middle with a pass or something to the side.
Right. Mm-hmm. No question. And the use of the running backs was beautifully done Saturday night. Everybody talks about they don't like, you know, the platoon system, and you're taking some guy out when he starts to get hot. But the way they shuffled in running backs in and out was beautiful. And bringing in Kenny Hill, you know, on that drive that came when the touchdown drive was absolutely amazing. That run
oh,
when he shoved that either that linebacker, that safety to the sideline, that pretty much ignited, you know, the team. And we started our own five, and I was just thinking, you know, we've had bad field position this whole second half, and they had pretty much figured out. I think we had 24 yards rushing in the second half to that point, and we just it was gut check time. And the offensive line performed. Kenny Hill, you gave a fresh set of legs. Fournette broke that long run, and then the next run after that, he had his face mask ripped off. And that
was the worst face mask I've ever seen. By the way, I've never seen a face mask ripped completely off of a helmet.
So I don't know if that's. I don't know if that was just such a – he had such a strong grip on a face mask, or if the equipment manager just didn't do a good job screwing that thing in.
How you like the call at the end of that drive? That I thought that was the whole kicker right there. Everybody if there was 102,325 in the stadium, there was only one person in creation before the call was made that thought we were going to play action off of that and throw that ball to a tight end who's never caught the ball in his life.
Well, I'd say 85 to 90% – were probably yelling for it, but probably like only 2% really truly believe that's what they're going to do. It's 12 straight runs.
Hell no. Only two people in that whole stadium knew that's what we were going to do. Les Miles and the offensive coordinator.
Yeah. His name's Cam Cameron. But, yeah. yeah, 12 straight runs. And that call was in a Logan Stokes. Podcast even said after the game, he said he had to go and look up who number 84 was. He had no idea. And that's exactly what Chris Fowler said on the telecast. He said, I bet you LSU fans are looking in their media guides right now. See who number 84 is. His first catch of the year. His first catch of his career, I believe.
Career. Touchdown. Career. Yeah, as a senior.
You know.
Well, all in all, good for him. We brought a little bit of that enthusiasm back in that stadium, and hopefully I'm glad we had a bye week because we need the bye week actually to come down to re-prepare ourselves.
Yeah, and you get a little. You had a few injuries too, a few nicks, as Les Miles likes to call it. The bye week could have not come at a better time for the football team, A, to kind of heal up from that tough physical game. B, because, we all know about the night before. I didn't know. Did we know going into that stadium that Les Miles lost his mom the night before? I don't remember hearing that.
Yeah, I'd heard that during the day. Early in the day, there was some posts about it.
Okay, maybe it circulated at the tailgate. I can't remember. Asking me to remember anything at the tailgate these days is pretty much, slim.
Except for that dent in your car.
Well, yeah, it's kind of hard when you look at it the entire time. It came in a good time. It recharged everybody's batteries, and now it's senior day. It's Alabama. LSU's riding high, and I can't wait to get into Alabama talk. And we will. I'm almost positive we'll probably be joined by someone from Alabama podcast. Am I right?
If we pull him away from his wrestling match.
Say he's not in your season. Listen, that's okay. But I'm almost positive we will have a Alabama guest from the SB Nation site. I can't think of the name of the site right now. So Crimson and Clover or something like that. I don't know. That's a Joan Jett song. we'll just make believe that their SB Nation site's called Crimson and Clover, and we'll make fun of it. Landon Collins can talk smack, so can we. So
yes.
He wants to come into Tiger Stadium and beat us. So, we're going to make it live.
Let's show him what it's
about. That's, just kind of early little sneak peek of what we're going to talk about in Alabama coming up, a little bit later. First of all, fans got to show up like they did, which I'm sure we will. We've got to see if we can rattle Mr. Blake Sims like we did Bo Wallace. And that's going to be key because while, a lot of, Alabama, the last thing we saw from Alabama was a 59-0 drubbing of Texas A&M. They beat Tennessee tonight, the same night we beat Ole Miss. But that was, 34-20, and it's Tennessee. But they looked at that A&M game, and they see 59-0. And, meanwhile, this A&M team struggling to beat Louisiana Monroe at home. So, I think you just kind of throw that 59-0 game out of the window, to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
That's a game where they jumped on them early, and A&M just kind of mailed it in, as far as I'm concerned. In Tuscaloosa like that. But you got to look to some of the other games that Alabama's played. The loss to Ole Miss. Coming back the week after that. Arkansas almost pretty much had them beat, and they fumbled that ball out of the end zone. So they're not unbeatable. They're not invincible. So that's the one thing this team cannot go in with this mindset, with this Brooke Trout look. That they can't feel defeated as soon as they walk on the field. And I don't think this team's going to feel like that. I think this team's riding high from confidence. I think the fan base is confident. Based off the last 3 weeks, there's no reason to think that. Don't get me wrong. It's going to be tough. There's going to be some matchup issues. We got to talk about Amari Cooper. And we got to wrap up. We got to tackle those running backs. And we can't let Blake Sims get loose because he is kind of a dual threat guy. Not quite. That a Dak Prescott or Nick Marshall, but he can make some plays with his feet. So it's important.
We'll definitely get more into that with our Bama guest.
Without question. So if they bring that same defensive mindset that they brought for the Ole Miss game, there's not a doubt in my mind this will be a one possession game either way in the fourth quarter. I can't wait to break this down here in a little bit. With you, Patrick, and the Bama guest, and I can't wait for Saturday. So, but this is just preliminary talk. We got the Ole Miss talk out of the way, so that way we're not rushed to talk about Alabama. We can take our time. We're taping this, by the way, just a little insider's trade info. We're taping this Tuesday night. We're going to tape our Bama segment tomorrow night, being Wednesday. You're going to hear all this Thursday, I'm sure. Friday morning. Who knows? Podcast gets lazy sometimes. Sometimes you just post it. You throw it out there like at 3 o'clock Friday afternoon and said, hey, here you go. You got about 24
hours.
No,
this is an important week. He'll throw this out there Thursday so that all our adoring fans can chime in and do their thing.
Righto. Well, Patrick Morris, I know you got to run.
Literally.
You got to run literally. Okay, we'll check you back. We'll check back with you. But stay tuned. Don't leave us. We'll be right back. Back to the Go Show in partnership with AnnaValleyShook.com on this beautiful Thursday evening as we come out to you. And it's time, Patrick Morris, to preview the Alabama Crimson Tide. The Gumps, the Updikes, whatever you want to call them, millions of nicknames. And Patrick Morris, we are joined by, I guess, the Patrick and Kerry of their world over there. They're probably a little bit more famous than you and I, but we are joined by Rick and Bandit from Getting Chippy, which is on Bama Sports Radio. What's up, fellas?
How's it going, guys?
Yeah, we're fired up. You guys fired up?
Yeah.
Woo. No, not at all. Patrick, you fired up?
It is Bourbon Bowl this weekend. Hell yeah, I'm fired up.
There you go.
All right.
It is Bourbon. This is Bourbon Bowl for our tailgate, which is the last tailgate of the year, which we do. Every last tailgate of the year, just to give you some insight. Every last home tailgate of the year, we do Bourbon Bowl because usually that's the time of year where it gets somewhat chilly, and it's actually going to be a pretty chilly day for South Louisiana standards in early November. So we break out the whiskey. Not that you know that's not uncommon, but everybody who doesn't even drink whiskey normally during football season at our tailgate breaks out the whiskey, and hilarity ensues. And you know, sometimes we make it to the stadium, and sometimes we don't. But A game of this magnitude, I guarantee you, I'll be there. I might even be there before kickoff because I haven't made it before kickoff yet this year.
Why ruin a good streak? I mean, what the hell?
Right. I don't think I am going to show up before kickoff because I got to be honest with you, I don't care about sitting in that stadium and watching them introduce seniors. I mean, I love the seniors. God bless them, but I got more important stuff to do at the tailgate. I got to pick up everything because everybody jets and everybody leaves me hanging. So,
oh man, so yeah. Your guests don't pick up and don't help with the tent and everything?
Oh, I'm a one man band. I'm a one man band.
Please. You feel the violin chiming for him right now. full of crap.
Dude, oh, shut your mouth, Patrick. Anyway, all right, so let's, I guess we should get into some football talk a little bit. So LSU and Alabama's playing this weekend. I don't know if anybody's heard.
Didn't they play last year?
I didn't play every year. It kind of happened.
Okay.
Yeah, LSU usually loses.
Okay.
So that's what usually happens. But anyway, it's kind of fitting that this game kind of means something. I think after the Auburn game in early October, a lot of people were thinking that this game wasn't really going to amount to shit. But you know, henceforth it has. LSU had a players-only meeting, be it as you will, what you want to call that. But since then, they've gone 3-0. Latest win 2 weeks ago, of course, both teams on a bye week this past Saturday. But LSU beats Ole Miss at home, and now it's gearing up for Alabama. And the Mighty Tide, you know, slipped up against the Ole Miss Rebels in Oxford, but since then's looked pretty impressive. Beat the snot out of Texas A&M. Ended up on Tennessee fairly well. So what's the just judging from y'all, talking to y'all off air, I got to think y'all are pretty confident coming into Baton Rouge. I mean, yeah. Y'all haven't lost us since like 1956. So, January 8th, 2012 to be exact. But I mean November of 2011, last time y'all lost LSU. But so what's the feeling? I got to think it's a little bit of confidence coming in. Alabama's got the swag, we all know. So what's the feeling? It's at
Well, Rick is more confident than I am. So, Rick, you want me to go first, and then you can explain why I'm wrong?
Well, yeah, go for it. I mean, yeah, I think that's okay. Always the best way.
Yeah, that's always the best way. So I'll give my my a little bit less confident expectations, and then Rick can pile on and gump and tell me why I'm wrong. But I feel good about the game, but I don't feel great. I certainly don't feel like it's a lock that Alabama is going to win this game. I don't think you can ever when Alabama and LSU are playing say you know who's going to win the game for sure, because I don't know what it is about this game, but crazy things and just odd things seem to happen, and they happen in the fourth quarter and things get weird. I'm not sure it'll be that close this time, but I think it's not going to be a bad football game. Like, I think it's going to be a good football game, and if Alabama can play a game, a complete game, without mistakes, without fumbles, without just some of the silly errors they've made in the past, then they have a really good chance of winning. If Alabama makes those errors against LSU, I don't care what people say about LSU. If you make those kind of errors against LSU, you're going to end up in trouble. LSU's not Florida. LSU's not Tennessee. You can't make those mistakes against LSU and then expect to still win by 2-3 touchdowns.
No, I totally agree with that. I think this game is going to be assholes and elbows. The one really good exciting thing about this for Alabama right now is that everybody seems to be getting a touch more healthy. Cam Robinson sounds like he might play. TJ Yeldon sounds like he's going to play. If that's the case, then Alabama's full strength and they're confident and they're ready to go. I think it's going to be a really good day for Alabama. That said, LSU plays hard every week. They play hard for Les Miles. They're going to hit you in the mouth. They're going to break some jaws. It's going to be a war. I certainly don't think Alabama's going to steamroll them, but I do think Alabama will win.
All righty. I'll turn it over to my cohort over there, Mr. Morris. Patrick, what's your on a Wednesday? Well, technically when everybody hears us on a Thursday, where are you at right now?
I can see we have improved tremendously in the last 3 weeks. I mean, it's no lie. We're a totally different team from where we started this season. So that team that, you know, hopefully all the Alabama fans watched and Alabama us play against Auburn, which was a debacle. It's a 180 from there. It's going to be, you know, I think the atmosphere is going to give us 3 or 4 points for one thing. So that in itself is going to make – hell, spread's only 6.5. I go with Vegas half the time. They know what they're talking about most of the time.
Right.
So it's going to come down, like they said. I think it's going to come down to some kind of turnover or, you know, a punt return, something stupid. So I hope our special teams play as well. That's going to kind of swing the game. It's not going to necessarily swing it in the fourth quarter. It's going to swing it like in the beginning of the third or mid-third. And then from that point on, we'll be able to tell who's going to win that game.
Yeah, and I'm with you, Patrick. And one of the guys over there talked about the mistakes. If Alabama can eliminate their mistakes, LSU needs to do the same thing. LSU – you know, 4 turnovers against Ole Miss, and we still won that football game. Now, granted, it took a touchdown in the fourth quarter to do that, but LSU, for the most part, I don't want to say dominated that Ole Miss game, but we pretty much imposed our will that entire first half as far as running the football and kind of picked our spots throwing when we needed to. I mean, we're not, by any stretch of the imagination, a team that's going to stretch the field vertically. We take shots here and there, but LSU can't afford to go to lose that turnover battle and be -3, -4 in the fourth quarter and still expect to be down to Alabama by one possession like they were Ole Miss. Now, granted, Ole Miss, very good football team this year, but Ole Miss is just kind of getting there where Alabama's been for the last, you know, 6-7 years and where they've been, you know, prior decades before that. So, that was kind of new territory for Ole Miss. You know, Ole Miss has had good teams in the past. Never have they been talked about in this high regard this late in the season for a long, long time, probably since the 1950s, with the exception of maybe the Eli year in 03. But that was, you know, kind of late in the season when they played the Nick Saban team and everything. And they were kind of in the mix for that SEC West title.
They still lost to Memphis in 03, too, though.
Yeah, well. So. That's what
I'm that, yeah. So that trip was like the one time where I was like, man, you know, I just remember having a football coach who's always like, great players don't trip. And that was when I just was like, I don't trust Eli, guys. and then that really cost me down the line because that guy somehow won 2 Super Bowls.
Well,
Well, Kerry, here's the deal, though. I mean, we all know Alabama recruits to play against LSU. LSU recruits to play against Alabama. I mean, the players, that's how we build our teams.
Well, yeah, especially over the past 3 years. I think Alabama had to change that recently. I mean, this is the thing, is both teams match up perfectly against each other. You guys have the same type of offense. I know what you guys are going to do. You guys are know what we're going to do. It's just a matter of whose players are going to play better, who's going to hit harder, and who's not going to drop the football on the ground or throw the picks. I mean, obviously we know what's going to happen. It's just a matter of who's going to play harder and who's going to have the breaks go the right way.
And let me ask you this. Let's kind of dive into some X's and O's a little bit. All Lane Kiffin jokes aside, from our end, what in all due respect, what has he really added to that offense this season? Because you see a little bit more, which you saw in the past was like LSU. You talk about LSU and Alabama mirroring each other on offense and pro style sets, but he's kind of added a little bit more of an element of a spread look this year.
Well, I think the biggest difference in Lane Kiffin and Nuss, and I know this is super cliched and tons of people have said it, but Lane Kiffin actually seems serious about getting the ball to the really good players. Look at how many passes Amari Cooper is getting it per game. It's compared to last year, it's an unbelievable difference. So I think the taking advantage of the tools we have this year, rather than just allowing the, rather than building an offense around what we want to do, just what we want to do, it's building an offense around what tools we have available, I guess.
The other big stat that came out pretty recently is that Alabama has played the same amount of games as Auburn this year. Alabama's run 18 more plays than Auburn has throughout the whole season. I think that's a really big factor in this rivalry. Because, you know, Alabama's playing faster. They're getting the ball faster. They're trying to do a bit of a hurry up. I don't think it goes as fast as Auburn, but they are like having a lot of plays. They're not trying to slow it down and grind it out like they used to.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I see where you're going with. Yeah. And that's something I talked to Patrick, you and I talked about this earlier in the season when LSU was struggling a bit, especially after the Auburn game. We talked about how, you know, LSU has to show a willingness to kind of adapt, you know, their offense to what's kind of going on. And while we really haven't done that, we still established an identity being kind of what Les Miles wants this team to be, but still kind of throwing in some, you know, some different wrinkles and running the ball out of pistol and different formations, not just being on formation all the time. And I actually, you know, it's harder than this for me to do this. That's what makes Nick Saban such a great coach, is his willingness to adapt. Because, and I even talked about this before the season, Nick Saban was on record talking about how the fast paced offenses were, how was he saying it, kind of unsafe and, you know, not good for player safety. But he's kind of saw it and said, hey, this is going to work against some of these defenses. It keeps these fast defenses off balance. Maybe we should go fast paced a little bit and take advantage of some things, because we have some playmakers on offense. You talk about Amari Cooper, you talk about TJ Yeldon, and and Blake Sims. I mean, was this kind of really expected out of him, the way he's performed at this point this season?
No.
I didn't think so.
He wouldn't even expect him to be on the field. I would have thought he was a running back 3 years ago. I never thought the world he was going to be this good.
Right.
It's a joy, and I just feel like we're lucky that he can run the ball, and it brings a whole new dimension to Alabama's offense. I think it's going to be an exciting time for them.
Oh, absolutely. And it also caused just a lot of fun watching people get mad about the Coker Sims thing. That was some fun moments on social media to watch that. So,
yeah, I bet it was. We're joined by Rick and Bandit from Getting Chippy there on Bama Sports Radio. Myself, Kerry Muntz, Patrick Morris here talking nothing but Alabama LSU with them this evening. You can hear their show. I'm assuming Bama Sports Radio. This is an internet podcast, sort of like we are, or is this?
Yeah, we're on the vSporto Network. Is where we run our podcast from. You can download the app, and you can get me on demand and Bandit on demand. I didn't mean to be sorry, people. Being so,
yeah,
so,
come on, man. I'm just like,
yeah. Sorry about that. You can get us on demand. Sorry about that, bro.
Well, you can take credit. It's cool. I do that all the time with Patrick. So
I'm being totally selfish right now.
Pat adds nothing. I'm just kidding.
No, and being the older, wiser person that I am, I just let Kerry think he's right and just do what's right in after the fact. So
that's all right.
It's okay.
It's all good.
Yeah, it's all good.
We're drinking whiskey this Saturday, so
we're getting podcast drunk. That's even better.
That's always fun.
Yes.
Always fun. So man, so Patrick, what you got? Look like you wanted to ask something.
No, I'm just thinking matchups here. I mean, we're talking. Amari Cooper is basically going off on opponents in the last, really going off on opponents in the last 3 to 4 games. Obviously, Bama, they'd be stupid to try and get away from that. But you know, you kind of look at our cornerbacks and our safeties, kind of developing, growing up a bit. I'd call it. You know, I got a feeling, just looking at this game and looking at the way we played Treadwell, which is not necessarily the best comparison, but Treadwell was a pretty good receiver before the injury, of course.
He's the best receiver we faced at this point this season.
But going I can see us going with the same kind of matchup. Okay, look, we're gonna test you one-on-one. We're going to try and put our best guy. If you roll to the top, we're going to put safety help. But we're going to try and get in your face. And, hey, if you beat us, you beat us. But we're going to go man on, like you said earlier, man on man on defense. But that's the one guy I worry about. If he starts going off, man, we are going to be in trouble. It's going to be a long night.
Yeah, it's going to definitely open up some things. If we can't, if we get into some situations there and he kind of gets loose early, it's going to spell trouble. But, I look at, how LSU's defense matches up with Bama's offense. It all boils down to what's been the main improvement for this LSU defense this year, and that's the addition of Kendall Beckwith, as the everyday middle linebacker in the plays he's been able to make, and our ends getting to the ball, finally getting in the backfield, making some plays. Because, we're undersized on the defensive line, so that right there in itself is a problem. Because I know, Alabama in the past, a downhill running game. Now, do y'all think that LSU, with that mismatch, you think Alabama kind of reverts back to that a little bit? Or you think they still try to spread LSU out?
Well, I think they're definitely going to try and get the ball to their best players no matter what. The best player is Amari Cooper. The issue that we've had this last 2 weeks is we had two key offensive linemen that have been hurt, Austin right. Shepherd, Cam Robinson. Mm-hmm. Austin Shepherd practiced today. Cam Robinson practiced today. So we're not totally sure if they're going to be there yet. It sounds like Shepherd's going to play. He's been the right tackle all year. Cam Robinson's been the left tackle this year. Mm-hmm. It sounds like he's less likely to play. That's going to create a pretty big mismatch on our end. However, right. Alabama kind of runs that kind of pro style. The way they kind of operate with their running back, with their offensive line, where it's like everybody has to know every offensive line position. So you start at center and then you work your way out. And that's kind of what they've been doing lately. They've got a lot of depth there. A lot of guys have played. So hopefully that's not going to be that big of a problem. I mean, if you guys do roll to the safety, you guys do double cover Amari Cooper. The obvious plan for Alabama is we're going to run the football. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we're going to be healthy enough to do that.
What do you see as, we know the strengths, but what do you see as Alabama's biggest weakness right now that we can exploit?
Oh, man. Well, there's one thing that I think is the glaring weakness of Alabama this year, and that's special teams. God, have we gone one game without a special team mishap of some kind?
No.
We do something. We put ourselves in terrible positions with special teams, and that's kind of going back to what I said at the beginning of the game is – playing a game without those kind of mistakes, because again, I don't care what kind of season LSU is having and what kind of season Alabama is having. These two teams are going to play each other really hard, and you can't give LSU the ball on your own 30 and expect them not to walk away with points. You just can't do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was the biggest issue for LSU in the Ole Miss game is we can never get, for an offense that is just basically a team that's going to run the ball 70% of the time. When we're in bad field position situations, that doesn't bode well for a team that doesn't throw the ball a whole lot, especially when you don't get second and short, third and short, and that happened the entire second half against Ole Miss, and it wasn't until that fourth quarter drive where we kind of just imposed our will and kind of wore out Ole Miss a little bit and ran that 95-yard drive with those 12 straight runs and that one low pass for that game-winning touchdown. I don't know that LSU can do the same thing to Alabama as far as wearing them down as the game goes on. It'd be interesting to see. But you're talking about your two bookend offensive tackles. That's going to be an interesting matchup to watch regardless. You say you're more confident that Shepherd plays rather than Robinson. Mm-hmm. So watching that matchup between those tackles and those two defensive ends, regardless of who is in the lineup, whether it's Robinson or his backup on the left side versus Daniel Hunter, and Shepherd versus Jamari Orasco, who's both of those guys have come on pretty good of late, and I think you can attribute that to Kendall Beckwith playing in the middle and opening some things up. And like Patrick said, our cornerbacks starting to get more in tune. You know, did a fairly good job against Bo Wallace, and that passing offense now is another big test because, you know, everybody talk about Bo Wallace and their passing offense. Alabama's passing offense is more efficient. I think Blake Sims is what, third in the nation passing efficiency or something like that. So
yeah, he's had a great season.
Yeah. I think a
key too is you have to look at like Ole Miss. God bless them. You know, I'm from Mississippi. I wanted them to do well this year. I certainly didn't want to beat Bama, but I wanted them to do well. But the teams like Ole Miss that are getting so beat up, it's like they're headed in a different direction than LSU and Alabama, which seem to be improving as the year goes on because they have such depth, where the teams without a ton of depth, like Ole Miss, they may have great guys out there, but the guy behind that guy and the guy behind that guy may not be up to that caliber. Right. They seem to be on a downward hill.
Yeah, because, Hugh Freeze has been there for what? This is his third year?
Three years.
So he's recruiting those guys, but he hasn't established that depth like you've seen LSU and Alabama establish over the last decade. And, by LSU young, very young this year, we've played something like 17 true freshmen. Those guys are maturing as the season goes on. And Patrick and I touched on this earlier in the season, that if you're going to get LSU, you better get them early because this team's going to improve. And quite frankly, after the Auburn game, I didn't see it. And I've kind of gradually started to see it. Now, we had to scratch and claw and beat Florida on the road by the last second field goal, which kind of looked like a bad one at first, but then Florida goes and just stomps a mud hole in Georgia. And I think that just speaks a lot to how mediocre the SEC East is, to be truthfully honest with you.
Also, Mark Richt.
Right, yeah. Very true. The Mark Richt factor, yeah. You cannot discount that. That's
international sign for choking.
So, damn it, you're making me lose my train of thought. I was on a roll a little bit there, Rick. Ooh, Abandon. I don't know what I'm talking about.
There's too much comedy, guys. We're going to beat you on the show with our comedy, and our players are going to take you down this weekend.
What are we going to do? Shit, I'm just going to throw in a towel. Just forget about it. So good conversation.
I want to know about this players only meeting that happened. I want to know what the turnaround was. Like, when did it like become apparent that y'all are going to beat Ole Miss? And you guys were crowd surfing. A thing that no Alabama team would ever do. We would never rush the field. What was going on with that? How did you guys get your big turnaround? Because I don't understand how you guys pulled that off. I knew you guys were like talent wise would be better than Ole Miss, but what happened in all that?
I'll take it first, Pat. I don't know if you have anything to add. I'm not in the locker room.
Sure.
But this is what I did. I'm not in the locker room, but I put a call in. I said, Les. I said, look, you and Chavis and all them other guys, just step out for a little bit and let them players just kind of add their grievances with each other. And it was like just a big brother episode where they all just kind of, they, like a real world, you just kind of had to air it all out. No, I'm not. No, I'll keep it stuck. No.
They're playing pool.
I think Jalen Collins, cornerback for LSU, kind of summed it up, talking about, you know, players only meetings can go one of two ways. Either it's going to be a bunch of guys just getting at each other's throats and blaming this person, blaming that person, or the seniors on that team can step up and one or two guys can be the ones that are talking. And by all accounts, from what Jalen Collins said, is Terrence McGee, running back, a guy that doesn't really speak a lot but kind of just does everything right on the practice field and on game day. He stepped up and had something to say, and Jalen Collins is kind of quoted, and I'm paraphrasing him. That kind of sat with him a little bit. That kind of got him going a little bit to see a guy who is not really vocal but always kind of led by example get into that meeting and speak up and say something. So, you know, I mean, I don't know if y'all guys have played – high school football. There's a little bit, there's that cheesy camaraderie thing that goes on. It's, you know, everything that you kind of, anything from my high school football playing experience, the stuff that we kind of saw outside the football field that, you know, us, you know, jock football players kind of deemed as kind of corny and cheesy. We were that corny and cheesy inside the locker room with each other. I mean, just, you know, it's a kind of that team camaraderie thing. So I don't know. So they sat around, lit a fire, sang Kumbaya.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Rick knows about that. Rick played college football.
That is true, Bane. I did play college football.
Hey, you did play college football.
It was Division III, so yeah, so it doesn't really matter, but yeah. It was a very long time ago.
It's college.
Yeah.
You want a true, you want to take on, this is from just outside observer, of course, and I'll make up what I don't know. So it really doesn't matter anyway. But I'd say, yeah, that's the way we do it. If we don't know the truth, we just make up something and tell them it's the truth. So think about it. You've got a very young team in there. They're in a meeting. A lot of these guys have, you know, they're experiencing a big program, but they've never made it to that next echelon yet. They don't know what it takes to play at this level. Very few guys in that locker room knew, and those guys really weren't vocal up until that point. So at that point, it's those couple of senior guys, because there aren't many seniors on that team, that step up and say, look, you want to play with the big boys, it's time for you to grow up. It's time, we're out of play mode, you're not in high school, you're not just going to go out there in athletic ability and just win these games from now on. You've got to get with this, and we've got to become a team, we've got to do whatever. And that, just from an outside point of view, if I'm in the locker room and, you know, having played and all that other good stuff, that's what comes out of these things. You know, if you're looking at it with a young team and you only have a couple of seniors, they're not necessarily playing for the seniors, but they're now playing for themselves, and they're playing for themselves as a team.
Yeah, and then it has to translate to the field. And something good had to happen for this football team on the field. And then, you know, they go to Gainesville and they overcome. LSU made a few mistakes in that game, pretty much dominated that game, you know, hearsay, but, you know, gave up a couple special teams, big plays. And, you know, Florida's right there at the end, and it takes a last-second field goal to win that game. And then they come back to Baton Rouge next week against, at the time, a Kentucky team that was kind of, you know, on the rise a little bit. A lot of people were talking about them. Kentucky's going to come to Baton Rouge, and they're going to beat LSU because they have this Patrick Toles, and they can toss the ball around, and LSU is kind of struggling, playing a lot of young guys. LSU came out and, you know, dominated them, beat them 41-3 from, you know, dominated from the get-go, which is what needed to happen. And I think that kind of exuded some more confidence. And then come Ole Miss, you know, finally the stadium for the first time all year was electric. Defense swarming to the football. You had the whole emotion of, you know, Les Miles' mom passing away the night before. So, you know, I guess you add that to it, and what it translated to is a team that kind of, I guess, played with a chip on their shoulder. We talked about cliches earlier. Here it is. A team that played with a chip on their shoulder. A defense that's finally starting to come together, swarming to the football, kind of know where they need to be on the field now. They're making plays. They're not out of position. Offensively, it's kind of, you know, we know that we're not going to spread a team out and throw the ball 30 times a game. We're going to run the ball out of eye formation. We're going to run the ball out of pistol. And we're going to rotate those running backs in and out, and we're going to establish ourselves with our offensive line, which finally has got some cohesion. So I think it's a matter of that, and they needed something good to happen on the field, and now it's kind of all starting to come together, and we'll see how it's going to translate against another, you know, tough opponent on Saturday night.
Well, have we broken down this game enough? Because we don't need to break it down. That's what they pay those two coaches. If you combine their salaries, good. I'm telling the process versus the process. The hat. I mean, what
the process versus the want to compete. That's what
the chest
and very capable team.
It's the process. Versus the want to, a team that looks forward to the challenge, gets excited about these games. They have a want to compete on the field with Alabama. You come to LSU to play these games. So.
You know what you could almost picture those two like in the offseason, even though you don't, because Saban goes to his camp or whatever. But you can almost picture those two in the offseason saying, okay, I got my thing here. We're doing this. Let's make fun of the rest of the college football world, because, you know, they're the darlings of the college football world.
So, Kirk Herbstreit just says we're the number one team in the nation, so we'll take that.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure.
I don't know if FSU Twitter would agree, but all right.
Talk about the Noles.
Danny Talk Cannell about the Noles.
If we have one common enemy, if we have one common denominator, it's Danny Cannell in Florida State. So, but you know, it's
he's the worst.
Oh God, he's such a douchebag. He just really is. He's just, I see him on TV now. I'm just like, he is such a cheese ball. He just, and I think back to that Unite show they had last year where he's rocking those hooded t-shirt sweater hood things.
Yeah.
Just like, oh my God, dude, what is this, 1994?
I mean, I can't talk about Unite. Unite used to show my cartoons on ESPN. So
okay.
Well. I have a soft spot for Unite.
Good enough.
But it wasn't Cannell. It was Marianella. She was very nice.
So she was very pretty.
Oh, well, yeah, I could live with her, yeah. Okay.
So she was easy on her eyes. So, all right.
You going to do a little pick'em?
Well, let's get we're going to pick the game at the end when we do the pick'em, and we'll get everybody's take when we go through the pick'em. I got to pull up the picks here. I'm sorry. The conversation has been so grand that I don't have the picks pulled up.
I got them.
So, okay.
I'm on the website right now. Hold on, wait. Hold on.
No, I've got it.
Now we don't pick every game. Just pick like the five or six best.
Yeah, we're not. If we try to pick every game with four of us trying to go through all these, we'd be here forever. So,
you know, we pick based on what the field color, the grass is, and you know things like that. That's how we pick these
things. There's no serious prognostication going on with us.
I should pick all the games as Houston Nut.
We're gonna role play. Okay. All right, so go show pick them those you go show listeners who are maybe tuning in for the first time, maybe some Alabama fans tuning into the podcast to hear Rick and Bandit. This is the go show pick them. You can go to Anna Valley Shook and you can sign up. You know, it's not too late to sign up, even though we do compete for a season ending prize. There are weekly prizes as well for who finishes first in the pick them each week. You get your choice of some nice beer koozies and things like that, and you're competing for the ugliest freaking sweater in the world if you've competed all year long. I am ineligible, which it doesn't really matter because I'm somewhere like in the 30th percentile of how bad it's been this year for me picking. But anyway, so let's go through it, and let's see what game I'm going to start with. Let's go to the Big 12, and
Do we have to?
I'm trying to push all the SEC games to kind of last. Trying to pick and choose which SEC games we're going to talk about. But it's just kind of a big deal, I guess, in the Big 12. There's a couple big games. There's one in the Big 12, one in the Big 10. Baylor versus Oklahoma. Baylor 7-1, traveling to Norman. Norman favored by 4.5. So just real quickly, I'll start with I'll go to Rick first and let him give his take.
Baylor, Oklahoma. Where's the game at? Is this in Baylor or Oklahoma?
This is in Norman.
This is in Norman, Oklahoma.
This is in Norma. Norman.
Oh, yes. Man. I really hate Oklahoma after last year's Sugar Bowl.
Sure.
My hate is smoldering. Art Briles is a very scary man. I feel like he's a very hard guy. He's like hard. Like, it's like he's got the hardness of a guy who's played in like five Alabama LSU games. So I am going to pick Baylor, even though I think they're on a downslide because I think they're kind of in that LSU West Virginia, that kind of territory of teams that are kind of on the rise, and their first team is probably as good as anybody else's in the country. But they probably don't have enough good people like Oklahoma does, but I'm still going to pick them anyway. So I'm going to go, I'm going to pick Baylor on that one.
Mm. All right. That's a tough game. That's a tough game to pick. I guess just to be contrary, I'll pick Oklahoma. Just because I think Oklahoma is probably a better team than they've played in a lot of games. So maybe they get it straight for the Baylor game. So I'm going to go with Oklahoma.
Patrick?
I hate picking Big 12 games because, you know, it could wind up being 72-62 or it could wind or, you know, if Oklahoma was smart, of course they're not because Bob Stoops is their coach. They would just freaking try and ground it out against Baylor and stuff. But I will have to go with Oklahoma just because they're playing at home.
Yeah, I'm making unanimous. I'll go with Oklahoma, too, at home, covering at 4.5 and winning, obviously.
Hey, how's that unanimous if one person picked Baylor?
I don't count. That's okay.
Oh, that's right.
I'm
sorry.
That's okay. Yeah, that's okay.
I'm just not listening. So, So, okay, we'll make it 3 out of 4. Okay, I'm picking Oklahoma just because I don't see a Big 12 team really finishing in that top four discussion that season. Then, and Baylor's kind of right there, and in a win this weekend would kind of maybe thrust them upwards a little bit more. You know, TCU's enough to be talking about a Big 12 team in that top four. So I think Oklahoma takes care of Baylor and then puts away any discussion about Baylor maybe sneaking in, and gives them their second loss of the season. So I will do that. Here's another big game. This is, you know, the college football playoff knows what they're doing with these rankings a little bit. Here's a quote-unquote elimination game between Notre Dame and Arizona State. The Irish traveling to Arizona State. Was that Tempe? No, that's Arizona. No, Tempe. That's Arizona State. Arizona State is, let's see, Notre Dame is getting 1.5 at Arizona State. Patrick, I'll let you start first.
Well, it's hot in the desert, isn't it? Nah, but it's cold at night. So, given, and that's the way I'm going to pick this game, because it's cold at night in Notre Dame, and I just won't ever pick Notre Dame. So, Arizona State.
Because it's cold at night, you won't ever pick Notre Dame. I like it.
Okay. That's my reasoning right there.
I'm Notre Dame, yeah, you know, they looked a little shaky against Navy, but they're a little bit more battle tested, I think, than Arizona State. I don't know. They play Florida State pretty close. I guess you got to give some credence to that. But Arizona State's a team that's just kind of sitting there, kind of flying under the radar, kind of like their NFL counterparts over there right now in Arizona and the Cardinals. I think they take care of business against Notre Dame because, like you, Patrick, I can't pick them dome helmets. I just can't do it. Cannot pick the Golden Domers. So picking with my heart on this one, Arizona State. Whoever wants to start out of y'all two.
All right, I'll take Arizona State as well, because I think Arizona State has played better teams and won against better teams than Notre Dame has this season. Yeah, listen to that, FSU Twitter. So I think Arizona State, they beat Utah, which is a really good team, I think, this year. So I think Arizona State wins, and I think Arizona State wins handily.
I think Notre Dame's going to win this game. My reason is because I think that Golson's a pretty good quarterback. Arizona State, like, they hadn't really put it all together this year for me. They had that really bad – didn't they have that bad game against UCLA where UCLA scored like 70 points on them? That's the only time I think – that's the only time I saw Arizona State play this year. So I'm convinced they suck. So I'm going to go Notre Dame wins. I think Notre Dame's going to win that game just because Evan Goldson's a good quarterback. They're going to play more discipline. Notre Dame's always on the road, and they're just used to playing big, wacky games like this. And I think that Arizona State's kind of only used to playing their Pac-12 games. So I think that's going to be one of the harder things for them. I think they're going to have a tough time playing.
Are you discounting that game against Weber State like it's not even there?
What is Weber State? Are they the Bulldogs or something? What are they?
I don't know.
Podcast.
Podcast knows everybody. Podcast. Division One and Division Two. Everybody.
He's not listening. He's just.
No, he's watching wrestling.
He's probably studying up on mascots of Division Three programs where Rick played college. So
that's right, the Mighty Lynx Cats.
All right. was that everybody? Everybody pick? Okay. Oh, here's
that. I was contrarian again.
Here's that other elimination game in the Big 12. Kansas State and TCU. Kansas State traveling to where was it? To Fort Worth. Yeah, Fort Worth. Taking on TCU. Kansas State getting 4.5 out that way. I will kick things off on this one, and I'm going to say Kansas State. They, if this game was in Manhattan, I'd go with Bill Schneider, but. TCU's got something working over there. I think TCU rides that home field emotion and takes care of business and continues their improbable march up into that top four a little bit there. So I think TCU takes care of business. Pat, I'll let you go first. Next.
Right. Given the fact I saw Kansas State play against Auburn and they just looked horrible. They really did. I mean, granted, they threw the ball off each other's chest in the end zone, a couple mistakes, but they just didn't look like a big-time team at that point. Hadn't seen much of TCU other than last year when we played them. But since we beat them last year, I'm going to go with TCU this year against Kansas State. That's good logic right there.
That'll make us look good. Make us look good this year.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Bandit.
This is a tough one. This is a tough one because it's all, like you guys said before, it's always hard in the Big 12 to figure out who's going to do what. I think Kansas State's a pretty good team. I think they gave Auburn a run for their money. And I think that, you know, I think they're a pretty good team. But I think TCU's got a lot more to play for right now. And it's at home, so I'll take TCU.
I've got Kansas State because I think Bill Snyder is evil and has somehow aligned himself with Satan, and that's why he's such a good coach. And because he's so evil, he's going to go down to Texas Christian University, and I think the warlock Bill Snyder is going to I think he's going to completely ruin and destroy all of TCU's hopes, and I think it's going to be a sad day. I don't like it one bit.
Nothing's
going to happen.
I don't care what happens. I just hope that we can somehow make Bill Snyder's new nickname the Warlock.
The Warlock.
I've been calling him a Warlock for a long time. He's a man witch. That's not like a really good man sandwich. He's a man witch.
Oh man,
very very good. All right, here comes the. I guess we got to talk about the Big Ten. I don't want to, but Ohio State traveling to East Lansing, take on Michigan State. Ohio State getting 3.5, according to this spread. I thought they were. These spreads are. I thought this was a different spread, but I'm going by the spreads on this office pool thing. But Ohio State getting 3.5 in East Lansing. I'll go to our Bama guests first, and I'll let whoever wants to start off pick.
Jump up, Bandit. Go for it.
Okay. All right. I have a scenario for this one, not just the game. So I think Michigan State wins. I think after that happens, with the threat of Michigan getting a new coach, Urban Meyer decides that he really wants to take his dream job and be the next head coach at Syracuse. And so he leaves Ohio State and goes to head coach at Syracuse after a cardiac incident.
I think Michigan State loses just because the conference is all kind of a bunch of losers.
And, I like that we're going to agreed on zero games. That's awesome.
I know. And like nothing ever good happens to Michigan State or the Big 12 as a whole. So somehow their division, their conference has to fall apart somehow. And I think that would be the perfect way to do it, is if you have a two-loss Michigan State team and they fall out of whatever contention it is that they're in.
I know Ohio State lost to Virginia Tech, but it's SEC bias keeping us out of the playoff, man.
That's what it is.
I got the stopwatch, and the stopwatch shows that ESPN talks more about the SEC. I've been timing every single game. I got a stopwatch.
Patrick.
Can this game just end in a tie? I mean, crap. I don't want to pick anybody here. Screw it. Hold on. Let me flip a coin. Yeah. All right. I'll go with East Lansing, Michigan State. Yeah, that's good enough. Michigan State.
Okay, that's what you're going with. I'm gonna go with Ohio State as well. I'm gonna ride the coattails of that past scenario. So I kind of like the idea of Urban Meyer having another cardiac arrest and going to Syracuse. that would be extremely funny.
It's his dream job.
Yeah. But how many of his players are going to be in scandal after he leaves?
All of them.
So. Yeah, pretty much.
So no, I have no real reasoning other than the fact that you know, this is Michigan State and Ohio State, and it's the Big Ten. You just draw the records, you know. And you know, nothing good should happen to that conference, in my opinion, because they suck. They play slow football, and
I think the Big Ten champ should be allowed to play Marshall at the end of the year. This is to make the playoff more fair. The Big Ten champ should be allowed to play Marshall, and then the winner of that game should still not be allowed in the playoff.
Fair enough. All right. There's not really a whole lot of – let's see. Georgia-Kentucky, I don't feel like talking about that game. No,
there's nothing left but ours.
Yeah, you're right. I'm looking at it. I'm not talking about Auburn and A&M. I'm not talking about Florida and Vanderbilt. So let's get down to it. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty. Alabama going to LSU. LSU getting 6.5 at home. I will let our Alabama prognosticators talk about it, and then me and Patrick will finish it off just because it's our show tonight. So,
fair enough. All right. Well, I've got the same pick I did on our show. I think it's a good game. It's not a blowout, but I think Alabama plays a more complete game than they have in past weeks because they've had the bye week and folks are getting better. Folks are getting healthier. So I'm going to say Alabama 28, LSU 14.
I am going Alabama 14, and then I'm going to say LSU 7. And the only reason I think it's going to be that low is because I think Mike the Tiger is going to be let loose somehow and get in the stands and on the field. And then that is going to cause the whole game to get canceled until Quan Alexander, your linebacker, fights the Tiger and takes him down. However, Quan Alexander will not finish the game. Therefore, Alabama is going to feel kind of bad, so they're not going to score as many points. So that's why Alabama is going to score 14-7. What do you guys think?
I think that would be amazing. Like, out of Gladiator, the lion just – I mean, the Tiger
exactly.
Just jumped
in the stands. Exactly. The Gladiator come out of the stands.
What's crazy is I dreamt that exact same thing last night. So it's wild. I don't know where to go from here. We've lost complete control of the show, podcast.
Thank God all the Alabama fans sit in front of us in the stadium. He'll get them first.
Yeah. So. Yeah. All right, Patrick, you go ahead.
Okay. Being the homer that I am, and we always make fun of our guests, even when we play crap teams, to always pick their team to win. So I'm definitely always going to pick our team, but I'm going to say that there's going to be a quirk play early, something. Game's going to turn, I say 24-21, LSU, and De La Housse kicks the field goal to win the game.
If we score 24 points in this game, Patrick, I'll kick you in the mouth.
You already bet your freaking Tundra against me next year, and that bet's getting closer and closer to coming
to fruition. That bet's looking pretty oblique. Yeah, I bet, just to give y'all some background information, I this is before the Auburn game. Mr. Morris, my co-host, said while we were fixing to watch that Auburn game that LSU would be a preseason top 6 team next year. And I said he was crazy, and I threw my keys on his pool table, and I said, there's no freaking way you can have my Tundra if that happens. Well, meanwhile, LSU's won 3 in a row, and if by some miracle they win out, there's no way they're not a preseason top 6 ranked team next year. So, you know, Patrick, I'll gladly give you my Tundra for a win over Alabama this weekend and a win out for the rest of the season. But, you know, me, this pessimistic ride I've been on since the Auburn game, I'm sticking with it. I'm sticking with it. I'm not back. I'm not shying away. I was wrong about Kentucky. I was wrong about Ole Miss. And hopefully I'm wrong again tonight because, you know, unless Alabama's, you know, I think Alabama might be overlooking us, but I don't think they are. But, no, even if they are overlooking us, they're still going to win this game by 4 touchdowns because LSU is not that good. You know, we've been riding the wave of emotion. We beat 2 SEC East teams and an SEC West team who apparently now is not any good because they lost to us and they lost to a top 4 ranked Auburn team. So apparently they're no good anymore. So throw that one out the window. We got lucky to win that game too. And you know, Les Miles is still winning with Nick Saban's players. So we have no chance, Pat. I mean, we have absolutely no chance in this game. But no, in all seriousness, no. Though my heart says, yeah, well, she was going to cover. The bigger heart in me says LSU's going to win. Realistically, I think this I can see this game going exactly the way 2012 did. I can see Alabama jumping out to a 7-10 point lead. I can see LSU fighting their way back, and I can see the defense giving up a touchdown with a minute to go in the game.
Question is, how will the referees play into this game? It is Alabama.
So, yeah, I ain't worried.
Oh, I had to throw that in there because everybody else in the SEC throws it in.
Nah, I ain't worried about that.
I don't
think LSU is going to walk on the field and be intimidated. I really don't think so. Last year, the game in Tuscaloosa, LSU went toe for toe until Alabama just kind of broke their will in the fourth quarter. And when we had to try to throw the ball, Alabama's defense just teed off on Zach Mettenberger, and he had no shot because the offensive line just kind of, I don't want to say mailed it in, but they were just getting manhandled and couldn't handle the rush of Alabama's defense towards the end of that game, and they just really manhandled us. And this year in Tiger Stadium, you know, we're going to – one thing I know about this young team, what I've seen so far, what they've proven to me is how much they fight. We saw it, you know, being down to Mississippi State by 24 points and fighting back and making that game close, and the way they fought back against Wisconsin, the way they fought back against Ole Miss, and the confidence they're kind of gaining. You know, I think LSU covers, and of course I'm going to say, all kidding aside, with the pessimistic attitude, I think Alabama wins a close game. I really do. That's just kind of how I feel, and because the gods of college football have shined a light on Alabama from here now until the time I'm probably going to be dead. So,
did you see last year's Iron Bowl? What are you talking about?
Oh, come on!
I didn't say the whole.
I said the state of Alabama.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about at all.
And I did see that Iron Bowl, and it was magnificent. You know, yeah, I'm a casual college football fan, and that was just something to see. But anyway, I just want LSU to go out there and give it 110%, and you know, hopefully, God willing, they come out with a victory, and you know.
I hope we go into the game and don't care much at all, and just hey, whatever, hey, it happened. Okay, good.
There are two absolute certainties that's going to happen. A, I'm going to be intoxicated at kickoff.
Mm-hmm.
B, hopefully there's Patrick. I don't know if you saw this, but walking up my seats to the Ole Miss game, I face planted walking up the steps. That's probably going to happen again. So that's two certainties. I'm going to be drunk, and I'm probably going to make an ass out of myself in the stadium because I was walking up the stands talking shit to the Ole Miss fans, and I just kind of face planted. So, I got up in front. Yeah, it was bad. Nobody saw it. Nobody actually knew.
Okay. Until
I told everybody. I was like, I could have really kept it a secret. So
You were bleeding, right? You were.
No. Okay. I just kind of tripped going up the steps, and I just kind of fell real, you know, real quick, and I picked myself right back up. You know?
Okay, you're not missing any teeth, right?
Not yet. You know.
Okay, fair.
So, you know, where were we? Oh, yeah, we're picking this game. I think Alabama, this is like the longest winded game pick I've ever had in my life. Alabama in a close one. So, and Pat Pocket can edit all that other crap.
Ooh, thank God, man. Talk about hang on our seven fans. Man. So,
but God willing, if LSU does win,
we will talk.
We sit, Patrick and I sit in that lower bowl where the opposing team fans sit.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah,
Pat, you might have to bail me out of jail.
Yeah, it won't be pretty.
We have some fun with our fans. It's all in good fun, but it's good. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. I enjoy the roar of the opposing team's crowd and kind of getting them riled up.
You're getting me all teary eyed and nostalgic now. God.
Well, it's a beautiful game.
So college football. Go Tigers! All right. How do we end this magnificent piece of podcasting history that's going on right here? I don't understand it. I don't know how to do it. Pat, you end.
I think Podcat's going to come on and say, "Guys, we're done.
Stop rambling on, Kerry.
Yes,
you're making my life harder, Kerry.
How about you thank our guests, and then how about you you end it with your traditional Go Tigers? That'd be a good idea.
The answer you were looking for earlier was the Weber State Wildcats. That's the Wildcats of Weber State.
One of them said that, I think.
No, yeah, we beat like you to it.
I said Wildcats.
Yeah, so anyway, but Patrick, shut up. Okay. So anyway, yes, this has been a Go Show. And again, we'd like to thank our guest, Smokey and the Bandit, for joining us. It took me that long to come up with that bad Smokey and the Bandit joke.
But down and down.
We'll take it any time.
Yeah, Rick and Bandit from, God dog it, What's the name of the show?
Getting Chippy.
Getting Chippy on Bama Sports Radio. Was our guest tonight. Where can the folks find you on Twitter? Apparently, y'all in Twitter wars with Florida State, so I know y'all on Twitter. So,
Y'all at? I go by at Rick Bussels.
Okay.
And I'm at Bandit Ref.
All righty. Good enough. And you can hear their show. Was it BamaSportsRadio.com? Was it a different website name?
Probably the easiest way is you can download the Bama Sports Radio app in the App Store from Apple.
That's pretty cool. Podcat, they have an app. Dude, you need to step up.
Come on, Podcat.
You need to step up your game.
You know? Well, if someone on this show didn't miss every other week to go coach Biddy Basketball in New Orleans, maybe we could get on one of these.
Hey, I'm not coaching Biddy Basketball. I'm actually playing. I'm playing in a freaking league.
Uh-huh. Story changes every week.
Fellas, truthfulness. No, thank you for joining us tonight. It's been a really good hour conversation. I had some fun. So, y'all coming Saturday?
No, I'm going to be missing it, unfortunately.
All right.
Yeah, no, I won't be there. I'll be there in spirit. I'll try to eat a beignet or something to make myself feel like I'm, you know.
Well, that yeah.
Make you feel kind of there. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Sure.
Yeah, my mom's from real Louisiana, fellas. That's Lake Charles, so that's more my thing.
That's Texas.
No, yeah, that's come Texas. On, guys. That's the real that Louisiana. That's no, the real cold.
Real Louisiana. Man. Real Louisiana's like Acadiana, Lafayette. Lake Charles is kind of west of that.
I don't know, guys. I'm not buying it.
I'm just kidding. The Lake Charles, Lafayette, it's all good. Yeah. Pretty much anything south of Alexandria is real Louisiana, to put it. Alexandria and above, that's
Arkansas,
Texas, so all points in between. But again, Patrick Morris, for Rick and Bandit, Podcast Behind the Scenes, Kerry Muntz, it's been a Go Show, the original LSU podcast. Find us on AndenValleyShook.com. We are done. Go Tigers. Bye-bye.